Hey guys, thanks for tuning us in for this 54th episode of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. Special guests in this episode include guests from The Voice this season, including Julia Cooper. We'll also visit with John Holliday, Tanner Gomes, and Chloe Hogan from this season of The Voice. We'll also visit with Mrs. Vivian Banks from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Daphne Maxwell Reed. We'll also talk with the host of BET News, Mark Lamont Hill. If you would, please take the time to subscribe, drop a like, comment, leave some feedback, and share with your friends. Our first guest from season 19 of The Voice is vocalist Julia Cooper. First off, Julia, thank you so much for taking the time.
Of course. Yeah, thank you for having me.
Now, Julia, how was it that you were first nudged into trying out for The Voice? What was the first inclination for you?
So I actually, I auditioned about, I think it was 2 years ago. I just sent in a video. I knew I kind of, at the time I was in school for theater and I wasn't really that happy. I kind of knew I wanted to go, you know, into the more musical route and start writing my own music. So I sent in a video because I found out they were coming to a city near my house. And then, you know, nothing kind of came of it. And then this time around, they actually contacted me after I auditioned for an open mic that they were hosting in Nashville.
Now, what was it like? Were you like, did you think you were getting punked when they called you?
Yeah, I mean, it was insane. I definitely, you know, when I first sent in the video for the open mic, even I didn't tell my parents. I just was like, this seems pretty far fetched, but I didn't, you know, I was at the time kind of saying yes to everything. So I, you know, was just really on a whim, and just slowly but surely things kind of started to fall into place. So it was really crazy to have them kind of coming back and forth, you know, talking to me about season 19.
Now the blind audition, what was that like? How do you mentally prepare yourself? And did any of the mental preparation help you, I guess, is the question.
I don't think it is. Like, you can prepare, but really, once you're there, it's, you know, you're on the stage, you've seen a million times in front of these, you know, coaches, and it's something that it's such a whirlwind that I don't know if you can necessarily prepare too much. I did definitely tell myself, like, I'm just going to look above the the coaches and hope that, you know, they turn around. But I didn't want to kind of make a big deal about it if they did, because I knew I'd kind of freak out. So that helped, I think.
Now, what has been maybe the best thing for you so far this season? And maybe what has been the biggest challenge for you to get adjusted to?
I would say probably the biggest challenge is the amount of time. Well, because of because of COVID, we were spending a lot of time in our hotel room. That's something to kind of get adjusted to. I'm a very active person, and I mean, we were all kind of doing it at home, but I was with my family. When we were all quarantining, so you know, it gets a little lonely sometimes. I wish I could be seeing a little more of LA, but you know, that's just what has to happen now in these times. But I think, you know, there's also some great things that have come from COVID. I think there's a lot to be said for having this time of reflection during, you know, a period where your life kind of changing completely. So I think there's some pros and cons to it, but yeah.
Now, as being in Nashville, usually I would say living in Nashville helps because you get to be out and about playing more often. But what's been the challenge being in Music City, USA this year when there's not so much music around?
Well, I went to school in Nashville, and once it was like March, once the pandemic hit, I was actually lucky enough to go home because school kind of was shut down for almost, you know, two, three weeks. And then I finished my year in Ohio. Money for kind of like financial reasons. I just thought it was like better to go home and stay with my parents. And like you said, there was not anything going on in Nashville at the time. So, I haven't really experienced. Sadly, I haven't been back since. I miss Nashville a lot, but.
Now, how much has being around Nashville inspired your will or your wish for the dream of music as well?
Honestly, really, really incredibly. I had only been there for a little less than a year, and I felt like everyone. It's inspiring to be surrounded by other young adults that are wanting to do the same thing as you, you know, and being able to say, okay, I see how hard I have to work now. I think there's, you know, Nashville, especially from where I came from, you know, you're a small fish in a giant pond in Nashville, but I think that makes you work harder. So, it really inspired me to, like I said, right before I auditioned for that open mic, I had a meeting with someone that said, you know, you have to just say yes to everything. You know, you're not at a point where you can kind of pick and choose yet. And if it wasn't for that advice, I wouldn't have be here. So
there you go. Now, if folks want to find more information, keep up with your music and social media and all that, where's the best way to keep up, I should say?
So I'm really active on social media. My Instagram is Julia Cooper Music. My Twitter is Julia Coop Music. I'm going to be on TikTok soon once we can kind of start posting again, you know, posting covers again, and hopefully some new music will be coming out in the new year on Spotify.
There you go. Well, Julia, it's been great to visit with you this morning. Continued success on the season, and hopefully we can catch up again real soon.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Up next, also from The Voice, is John Holliday, originally from Rosenberg, Texas, as I mentioned before we came on the air. Know his hometown well, now from Appleton, Wisconsin. John, first off, thanks for taking the time to be on the show, brother.
Oh, my God. Thanks for wanting to visit with me. I'm so happy to talk with you.
Now, Rosenberg, Texas, how do you make a transition from Rosenberg, Texas to Appleton, Wisconsin? I mean, that's like polar opposites, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, and when you talk about polar, I mean, even the weather. Yeah, the weather is so it's diametrically opposed to the weather that you have in Texas. But the reason I'm in Appleton is because there's a fantastic university that's there. A lot of my opera singer friends with whom I share the stage have gone to this wonderful conservatory at Lawrence University, and I figured, you know, there was a position that came up there, and I thought I would apply to teach there. So I'm an associate professor of music at the Conservatory of Music at Lawrence University, and that's the reason why I'm in Appleton, Wisconsin. But there is totally a difference in weather. But I will tell you, one of the things that I love about Appleton is it reminds me a lot of Rosenberg and the Sugar Land area. It's very beautiful. People are very kind there. And I feel really welcome there. So it's a wonderful place. It's just very cold. Other than that, it's very nice.
now, how do you go from being a professor to getting on The Voice? Was it a dare, or maybe the fruition of a life's journey, if you will?
I think it was the fruition of a life dream. And I've always, you know, lately I have been doing a lot of writing. I'm a person that does a lot of, you know, vision board work, a lot of manifesting through writing and prayer. And one of the goals that I had written down in my SMART goals in the last 3 or 4 years was I would like to have, you know, I was writing down, I want to be the number one countertenor in the world. And then one of my best friends was like, what's the measurable for that? And I was like, oh, I don't know what the measurable is. Then I started writing things down like, I want to become a household name. I want to sell 5 to 10 million records. You know, I want to be on all the world stages. And when I thought about it, I was like, you know, no matter how much I sing at the Metropolitan Opera or the Dallas Opera or wherever, there's never going to be the amount of reach that I can get by being on one of the world's most amazing stages at The Voice. I mean, I could never sing for 8.3 million people a night, no matter how many times I sing at the Met. So being able to do that through this show was a dream. And not just to do that, but because I love people and I love connecting with people, it was a way for me to get connected and stay connected, especially during the pandemic, and to remind people of the good that is within us and to remind people of that of the fact that there is hope on the other side of this, and there is still joy. And so I wanted to be able to do that. So even if for 5 or 10 minutes while I'm on the TV, if I can make someone forget about their grief or to forget about, you know, their heartache or the things that are going on that bring woe, and all the strife, and remind them that there is still good, there is still hope, there is still love and joy, then I have done my job. And I'm able to do that with this show. So that's one of the reasons why I decided to do it.
And John, you can attest to the power of music as well. And during 2020, to be able to be a part of The Voice, which is showcasing new talent and, man alive, turning a lot of heads as well, to be a part of that and then not only showcase your talent, but put some light in somebody's life. I mean, that's got to be monumental.
Oh, it is. It totally is. I mean, I feel like, you know, I've already won, because I've been able to do that. And, you know, the turning things up on their head, you know, like kind of seeing this guy that you would never expect to sing like that is another story. But being able to really share, I mean, that's really what I want to do, Cameron, is I really want to be able to share every single thing that I can with people. I want to give my all, and I know that that's something I'm able to do with this show. I've had so many people to reach out to me, you know, brand new people, which is also another thing. This is how I know that this show's a big deal, by all the messages that I'm receiving. I'm receiving messages from LGBTQIA youth. I'm receiving messages from young girls and boys of color, teenagers of color, and just saying how inspired they are. And I would have never had that, or at least not on a big level like I have right now, doing the same thing I have been doing before. So it's an opportunity for me to stretch myself. It's an opportunity for me to go the distance and to continue growing and to be coached by one of the most amazing people in the world, somebody whom I adore and whose music I think is fantastic.
And for you to be able to, it's actually, I think it's extra strong whenever you step up and talk about, in spite of all of the craziness, all the drama that you've had to endure in your life, to say that there's genuinely good in people. That's a story that never gets old, right?
Oh, it never does. And, you know, I was talking about this yesterday with a dear friend of mine, like who's like a brother to me. I was like, if I can just remind people, no matter what side of the aisle you sit on, no matter if you're gay, straight, or if you're cisgendered or transgender, or if you have lots of money or no money or in between, that we are actually all much more alike than we are different. And the more that we can make people understand that, I think the better world we'll live in. What I do know for sure is that everyone, no matter who you are, we are all just trying to be loved. We are all just trying to be seen and affirmed. And for someone to say that I get you, and not only for them to say that I get you, but I get you, I see you, I hear you, and I love you. And so I'm so thankful for the fact that I get to have that on a big platform, and that I get to remind people that we certainly have much more of that than we do divisiveness in the world. And so, and of course, you can see that right now, it just in the way that things are, but I choose to focus on the love.
There you go. And again, John, if folks want to keep up with more of you as you go through The Voice this season, social media wise, where can folks keep up with that?
All of my social media is pretty streamlined. So if you look up Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, you'll find me under the handle John Holiday Live. That's where you will find me. And I hope that you all follow me out there, you guys. I need you. That's where I'm so active. You will find all kinds of wonderful stuff on my social media. And also, you can look me up on my website. It's johnholiday.com.
All right. Well, John, it has been great to visit with you this morning. Continued success on the season. And hopefully we can catch up again real soon.
Cameron, thank you so much for having me, and it's a joy. You keep on doing what you're doing. Stay safe and take care of yourself.
Our next guest on this 54th episode from The Voice is Tanner Gomes. First off, Tanner, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. I'm on Oklahoma. What the heck?
It only took The Voice, right?
That's all, yeah.
Now, Tanner, what has being on The Voice just so far meant to you, especially in spite of what 2020's been for all of us?
Can't even explain. It's just so rewarding in so many different ways. You know, my hometown, just being able to give them something to be excited about, just giving my family something to just, nothing really exciting or you know, something like this at all has happened to my family. So giving them something, especially during a time where, you know, the world is just different because of COVID, just being able to give them something to look forward to every week it's been so rewarding. It's so cool. You know, I feel super fortunate and blessed. So.
Now you talked about the hometown, Yuma, Arizona, for you, and now, well, I'm not sure as of COVID whether still in Nashville, but what was the trek from Yuma to Nashville like for you?
well, I wasn't used to. There's a few things that I had to learn. So, first of all, I learned what humidity was like. I had to learn that there's bugs bigger than mosquitoes that exist. But yeah, it's you know, it was much needed, and just moving out to Nashville, I just loaded up the car through the Husky in the car and whatever I could fit in my little sedan, and just drove off to Nashville and. Found some guys on Facebook and moved in with them. It was pretty cool. It's been working out ever since. And Nashville's awesome. I love it. It's a fun town, that's for sure.
Now, how long have you been in Nashville now, Tanner?
I've been in Nashville for a year and a half, a little over a year and a half. I'm going on 2.5 years right now. So, you know, just got there. I was still a full-time student. I decided to take online classes and started doing ballet at the Hutton Hotel downtown. And I would do that and just try to mingle, try to connect with people all over Nashville, try to and book gigs, you know. And that was just my life for about a year and a half, and then COVID hit. So, you know, I was getting this opportunity definitely changed the way of the life, especially when COVID hit. I was like, oh crap, what am I going to do? So, you know, I'm just very fortunate. There's a lot of musicians. I mean, most musicians right now can't do anything. So, just to be able to, literally make huge steps in my career, during such a hard time the world's going to going through is really, really great. I'm just super lucky.
And Tanner, the ups and downs that you've had in life, I mean, how do you think that equips you for this year, especially like you said, this season being so different than any before as well?
Yeah, you know, I just, it's definitely, this season's definitely different. The rules with COVID and everything, and not getting to, you know, really experience hanging out and jamming with people and, you know, going in people's rooms because of COVID. But, you know what, though, like, yeah, just everything that I went through as a kid, literally every day was hard. It was a struggle every day. And having to push through to, you know, something like this is cake. So, like, honestly, like, it's fun. You know, I'm chilling. I'm taking time to myself, and I was busy for so many years and working my butt off. I'm stuffing my face. They feed us so well. I'm just, yeah, that's my life, is eating and working out and singing and writing music. It's like, what the heck? How can I complain? So, It's pretty great, man.
Now, 2020 being what it is, what did you learn, or maybe what is the new trick, some maybe social media that you've learned that you're going to carry forward with you that was a little difficult to start with?
Yeah, you know, just being able to, I guess, confidence-wise, I feel it's just, you feel a lot better about yourself going through. I don't know, you know, after so many years of, because I've auditioned for the show a few times, and I always wanted to get better and better and keep getting better, but knowing that I pushed myself and I made it on this thing finally, it really makes you feel like just great. I mean, like your work has paid off and it's very rewarding. Like, I don't even know how to explain. I don't even know what's going on. I don't even know why. Like, every day I look in the mirror and I'm like every now and then I'll just start dancing in the mirror because I'm like, what is happening? Why are you like, what is this seeing you? But, you know, like I've never been the most confident or confident person. So like, just, it feels, it definitely makes you feel better as a musician. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of times you play for empty bars and stuff like that. And it's just, you know, it's just really rewarding being here and being able to share my story and the fact that people actually want to listen. And like all the people that have reached out to me relating to my story and, you know, parents with addict parents and just, it's so cool, you know, just the things that people are reaching out and telling me. I love it. It's really good. Awesome.
That's good stuff. Now, if folks want to want to give you a follow social media wise, Tanner, what's where can folks find you?
So Tanner Gomes Music is my Instagram and Twitter, and then just Tanner Gomes on Facebook. And I have a TikTok, but it's not that great.
That, now you got goals to set for yourself, right?
That's right. My next goal is TikTok.
There you go. Well, Tanner, it's been great to visit with you today. Continued success on the season, and hopefully we can catch up again real soon.
Yeah, hopefully. Thank you so much.
And our last guest today from The Voice is Chloe Hogan. First off, Chloe, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much, Cameron. It is an absolute pleasure to be here.
And what has this season on The Voice meant for you? And has it met and surpassed any expectations that you had coming in?
Oh, my. Well, I will say that I never thought that I would be able to be on this kind of show. It just felt like one of those dreams in my life that was, if it happens, great. And if it doesn't happen, I'll still keep on doing music. But I'm so glad that I've gotten this opportunity to be on the show. And especially at this point in time, because we need this music so much right now. We need that love and peace and that refreshment for everyone, for us, for the musicians, because we just want another opportunity to make music again, but also for people who listen to music. Like, everybody needs that breather. Everybody needs to be able to breathe, find somewhere to get fresh air. And that's what this show is what it's been this entire season. So, yeah, what a dream come true and something that's absolutely necessary right now for our world.
And being in Nashville, going to college in Nashville at Belmont University, what has that done? The university, I've heard from so many different folks about how it helps prepare you for what you're about to face.
Woo! Belmont has been, well, a training ground, I would like to say. I've always kind of said that Belmont feels like if High School Musical was a college. It's pretty much that kind of school, in that everybody seems to be making music and bursting into song at any point in time. And I think maybe because my friends at Belmont have, you know, loved on me and said that my songs were beautiful and that my voice deserved to be heard and practiced with me in this practice room for hours, I think that's what Belmont has done for me. Belmont has definitely opened up that door and pushed me to work hard, to pursue things that I never thought I could do and completely do the impossible in my life. And that's what that school is. It's just doing the impossible. That's what it's training me to do.
Now, the first time I visit with anybody that's been on The Voice, the question I've got to ask you is, do you even remember the blind audition? what was that experience like for you?
How do I say this? It was so quiet. It was silent. I remember being there, but it was such an out-of-body experience, and I'm sure I'm not the only one that's felt that. But especially when Gwen turned her chair, it was like the whole room was, like you could hear a pin drop. There was nothing else that I heard in my world. I was just like, oh my gosh, Gwen's the funny just turned her chair, okay? Okay. Keep singing. Yes, you're on stage. Keep going, girl. You got it. Okay. And then the music popped right back into my ears like a heavenly chorus. I was like, okay. But we finished the song. That was good. And it didn't look like on TV to me that there was any of those wheels turning in my head. Any of that malfunctioning that was going on. But, oh my gosh, was the room absolutely electric with energy and then just pin drop quiet for a second. So, whew.
And what's it like now performing without the crowd, without the live studio audience? I mean, I know there's still the electricity. I mean, how do you explain that electricity with nobody but basically the judges there?
I think the best way to say it is that you have to create the energy within you. As performers, most of the time we live off of, I know I do, I live off the energy of others. I'm such an extrovert when it comes to my music. So if I see someone vibing or if I feel when I walk into the room that someone needs a certain feeling or needs love or needs peace or needs just to have a little bit of fun, I try to vibe off of that. But knowing what we just need and what I personally need and knowing that that can be a universal thing that someone else may need is what I walk into the room with now. Being that as it may, there's not that physical presence of people, but you can feel people's hearts and souls that are like literally watching this show and tuning in and just needing something to refresh them. And sometimes it's just about healing. So I try to bring that energy every single time through a performance, just being loving and kind and honest on the stage and just keeping that energy that I have to bring for myself. So definitely, I think we all, as musicians, have to work 10 times harder because nobody else is in the room. Just us and the coaches. So, yeah.
Now, 2020 being what it is, it seems like anybody that that does any music whatsoever has done the live stream or a Facebook takeover or whatever. What has been the teaching experience, I guess? I'm not going to ask you what the bad experience was, but usually it is the bad experience that you learn from, right?
Oh, yeah. There are good and bad, especially when we're all learning a new thing. You'd be surprised how many of us musicians have no idea how to work live streams and technology at all. But we're learning and getting better. And I think the best thing that I could say from those performances is that you can still feel, and I always talk about this maybe because it matters so much to me and it's shown up so much in my life, but you can feel people's love and kindness and you can see how many people have just come together during this time, all going through this together. You can feel it through a screen. And I know it seems very impersonal most of the time that it's like, oh, like I'm talking to you through a screen. And I really would like to see people in person. But people are so warm and generous, and I can't tell you how many times I've gone on Instagram Live to perform a song of mine or a song, a cover, to sing with one of my friends or sing for a little live stream concert with my school. But it's always been an uplifting experience because you can feel that everybody is just here together, just wanting to listen to good music. And that's the best experience about these live streams, is that it, even though they're not there in person, you can still feel the goodness of people all around you. And it makes me love what I do all the more.
That's awesome. And Chloe, if folks want to keep up with how the season's progressing and everything else via social media, where's the best place for folks to land?
Download the Voice app. What are you doing, crazy? You gotta download the app. Download the MVC, the Voice app. This season, it looks orange in the app store. Wherever you download your app, it looks orange. MVC, the Voice app is there. You can also follow me on Instagram if you'd like, because I keep a good update of what's going on the show. So I'm on Instagram at Chloe Hogan Music if you want to follow me there too.
All right. Well, Chloe, it has been great to visit with you this morning. Continued success on the season, and hopefully we can catch up again real soon.
Of course. It's been an honor, and it's been wonderful.
Up next, we visit with actress Daphne Maxwell Reed. You know her as Vivian Banks on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. We'll talk about the reunion coming up on the 19th, as well as the new Christmas movie, Business of Christmas. First off, thank you so much for taking the time.
Oh, happy holidays, everybody.
And I think, Daphne, this year, I think folks are trying to get into the holiday spirit a little sooner. I mean, we actually started decorating on November 1st this year. So how cool is it to have a new Christmas film out there for folks to check out?
It's a delightful little film. And I have to compete with my husband, who has done about 4 or 5 Christmas movies. So I was really thrilled that I got to do one. And it's a great little story about a family who owns a toy store in the community. And it's a big part of the community, a vibrant addition to a community in which they're very much involved. And they have a bit of a mortgage problem. But they've got these 3 grown kids who they are wishing would come back for Christmas just because they want to see them. But, of course, the kids have lives of their own. So Daddy has a health problem. And they all finally get back together. And as a good Christmas movie, it all gets ended with a smile and everything works out beautifully.
and Daphne, that's what do you think it is, especially this year, that is going to bring out the Christmas spirit? Is it just out of desperation, maybe?
No, it's because we all need a little bit of positivity and uplift. We've had a very challenging year, and it seems like it's going to be challenging through the end of the year. So any window of delight that can be opened, I'm happy to help be part of that delight.
And going along with that delight also, we mentioned the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and I would be remiss if I didn't bring up the reunion special and what it's like and what that family has meant to you over the last, well, however many years it's been.
It's been 30 years.
Wow.
it was a surprise for us all. It was a joyous occasion to all be back together again. We have spent many times together over these past 30 years, not as an entire group. We've been going to weddings and sadly funerals, and we support each other in the endeavors that we each do separately. and we do Comic-Cons together. We have a great time as really a family. We are definitely a family. But getting back together again, Will just did a beautiful job of creating an atmosphere that was very joyous and celebratory and surprise-filled. And we hope that you guys will enjoy the camaraderie that we all found on that stage and the joy of memories and stories and dancing and tears. It should be a wonderful, wonderful show because it was a fabulous day.
And you talked about Will putting that together. What was your first thoughts when you first met, Fresh Prince Will Smith back in the day? What was your first impression of him?
I was really impressed. I didn't meet him until I joined the cast maybe 3 years into his show. I didn't go to the original audition because I didn't see me working on a sitcom with a rap star. I said, I'll pass on that one. But when the show came on that fall, I thought, oh, this is a really cute show. And he bloomed so beautifully. By the time I got there, he was an old pro at this and just a joy to work with. He's a charismatic, delightful, intelligent, very committed and passionate young man. And I am as proud of him as any auntie would be.
And again, the Business of Christmas going to be available on BET Plus. Is that correct?
That's right. On December 1st. Join us.
That's right. And again, check out the reunion special on, now is that HBO Max? Am I right on that one?
HBO Max on the 19th.
That's coming awesome. Coming up. That's awesome. Well, Vivian, Daphne, I should say, it has been great to visit with you. we've known you for 30 years that way. So it's been great to visit with you.
We're working on our third generation. Great holiday and be safe.
You too. Thank you so much.
All right.
And wrapping up the show today is the host of BET News, Mark Lamont Hill. We'll be visiting about his new book. First off, Mark, Dr. Hill, thank you for your time, brother.
Oh, it's my pleasure, my brother. I'm happy to be here.
Now tell us, we still hear the pandemic, policing, protest, and possibility. I think that last word is one that too often we're not hearing about. Isn't that right?
That's exactly right. You know, we're in such a dark moment, regardless of what side of the political aisle you're on, regardless of, you know, what your class status is. I don't know anybody who's happy with where we are. Now, obviously, the vulnerable are catching hell in this country. But, you know, everybody, I think, is in a, feels like 2020 has been a rough year and we're in a dark moment. And, you know, in the midst of that darkness, as Martin Luther King said, you know, only when it's darkest can you see the stars. You know, for me, that word possibility is important because even at a moment where so much is happening, there's an opportunity for us to reimagine the world and do something different.
And for you this year, what has, I mean, the pandemic obviously is probably the biggest, and but other than that, you've had the Black Lives Matter, you've had so many other movements going on, and how much do you think that COVID-19 has, for lack of a better term, aided the propulsion of these movements this year?
You know, I think that the movement on the ground, Black Lives Matter, obviously is key, you know, and it's been an important, maybe one of the most important social movements we've seen in American history. But I think there's a range of organizations and movements that are on the ground. I think for me, the proper analysis is simply, you know, grassroots activism and people power have changed the direction of the nation once again. And that's always the case. You know, our disposition on Vietnam, you know, our fight for women's suffrage, our struggles for civil rights, they've all been animated not by legislators. They've been moved by people. And we see that right now. And so whether it's getting the officers who were involved in the death of George Floyd arrested, whether it's, you know, putting a spotlight on the Breonna Taylor case, which wasn't there before, you know, people said anything about it. You know, these are all ways that people on the ground have made it, or whether it's the election, you know, the November 3rd election. You know, we saw, you know, record turnout. And we watched Joe Biden get 75 million votes. We saw Donald Trump get 70 plus million votes, which means that even more Americans were invested in the process. All of this is part of what it means to organize and have people power.
And what do you think it is that it takes the average American to get involved? Is it emotion? What you think drives most people to finally become a part of something?
I think different people are moved by different things, but yeah, I think emotion is definitely one of them. But I think also heightened vulnerability. There are people who feel like they're losing something. Some people hit the ground because they feel like their resources are being taken away, their communities are being shut down. You know, there are people who are gun advocates and they think their guns are being taken. There are people who think they're losing the country. I mean, you know, and then on the other side of the aisle, there are people who feel like the real problem of state violence and shootings and mental illness and poverty are reasons to hit the ground. But you're right. Usually when a movement gets hit, it's not those structural things are in the backdrop, but it's usually a moment, right? There's a moment. There's a George Floyd moment that makes everybody respond. There's a school shooting moment, right? And you know, that makes people, in Sandy Hook, that makes people say, we got to do something. There's often a moment that does speak to the emotion, as you say, but it's backed by a whole bunch of vulnerability and a sense of urgency.
And for you, what do you think has been the biggest misconception about the Black Lives Matter uprising and movement? What do you think is the biggest misconception that the folks are seeing today?
Well, I think there's two. I think one is that people feel like there's no policy component to it, right? That somehow this is just a bunch of yelling and it's not connected to an actual policy agenda. Whereas if you look at Black Lives Matter and the broader movement for Black Lives, there's a very clear set of goals, there's a set of requirements, there's a set of demands that are being asked that I think we have to really press on and think about, whether it's internet global policy or whether it's domestic policy, whether it's economic policy or whether it's criminal justice policy. I think people miss that. And then the other thing is they now take any movement, any black person on the ground that's protesting, they say Black Lives Matter. So what happens is you find somebody that says something crazy or something violent or something anti-Semitic or something, sort of counter to our principles. And they say, look, that's a Black Lives Matter person. And the only evidence that they're Black Lives Matter is that they're black and that they're outside. And so I think, you know, too often it's hard to separate these different movements and these different organizations.
And again, the new book to talk about, We Still Here, Pandemic, Policing, Protest, and Possibility. Mark Lamont Hill, I do want to make sure and let our listeners know where they can keep up, find out more information about the book, and also social media-wise, everywhere they can keep up with you there as well.
Yeah, they can keep up with me at Mark Lamont Hill. My handle on all social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, is just Mark Lamont Hill. That's MarkLamontHill. And, my website, marklamonthill.com, has info about the book. It has info about all my links, videos, projects, and everything I'm working on. So, you know, they can keep up with me and a whole lot of cool stuff is coming.
There you go. Well, Mark, it has been great to visit with you this morning. I truly appreciate you taking some time out of your crazy schedule. Blessings the rest of the week, and hopefully we can catch up again real soon.
Same to you, my friend.
Thanks again for joining us for this 54th episode of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. If you ever have a comment, question, anything else you'd like to know, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, all at GQ with Cam. If you'd like to help out in the funding for this podcast, feel free to click the support tab and follow the instructions. If you have a special guest idea, go ahead and email me, gqwithcam@gmail.com. We'll be back with episode 55 coming up tomorrow.